Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And Overnight America is live on this Memorial Day night. And if you'd like to call in, join the show, you have a comment, something like that, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I posted this on Facebook, and I was really hoping to find a little bit more interaction on this. But I wanted to try to ask and try to predict a year from now what we'll do when we look back at the coronavirus and particular Memorial Day weekend. So we look at everything that's led up to this moment. You had some large cities that started to close down. Eventually, we had the quarantine, and we'll just call it a quarantine for the ease of saying, and because people understand what we mean by that. If the city and the county goes down, and then for a couple of months we waited, and now we're at the point where things are starting to open back up, albeit later than the rest of the state, but still you're seeing a week of it being opened back up. The state has been open for 3 weeks now, since May 4th, and there was this incident caught on tape that has gone viral at the Lake of the Ozarks, where you see just a giant swimming pool filled with people, mostly, you know, 20-year-olds or so, dressed in their swimsuits, drinking and partying and doing whatever it is that you would expect to see at the Lake of the Ozarks at a place like that. And I think a lot of people that have been cooped up for as long as they have felt comfortable to go out and maybe have that security and that feeling to think that maybe a pool would be a good place for it to be. Well, a lot of people criticizing that video and getting national attention. And I watched it, not the video, but I read the stories. I just didn't watch it. The viral video that went out there. I saw enough of the screenshots and things. And I said, okay, so this is going to be the thing that is going to be used in order to try to revert back some of the little clawing back of the freedoms that we had. And then you see the story from KMOX.com, and you just heard it at the top of the hour there with Alex Degman. Well, if you were out there, they're telling you to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. They want you to stay away from it. So this was the big thing, and this was the national story, and this is what people grabbed onto. But I got to ask the question now. Let's look at what happened in St. Louis City and County over Memorial Day weekend. 19 people shot. I think it included a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, and 16-year-old I saw reported out there. Of those 19 people shot, four have died. There have been at least 63 homicides in St. Louis City this year. That's close to the same total that we had last year. And it doesn't matter that people were told to stay back, stay away from each other. Crime doesn't sleep. And when you see headlines like this on a Memorial Day weekend where 19 people were shot, including a 14-year-old girl, we're not going to remember that a year from now, are we? We're going to remember the swimming pool thing. Oh, remember the Lakes of the Ozarks and remember all those people that went out there and swam. Which one do you think we should remember? And which one do you think we should forget? 314-436-7900. I'm just curious. Maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way, but for some reason we're sweeping under the rug 19 shootings so we can get outraged about some 20-year-olds in a pool. Give me a break, all right? Let's go to Chris, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America, Chris.
Hey, Ryan. What's up, buddy?
Good to hear from you.
Hey, yeah, good to talk to you. They overscheduled one person at work, so I went in for nothing, but I took care of some recycling, ran a few errands over in St. Louis, but
okay, good.
I wanted to comment on a few things. The president's speech was a home run. Mm. I think it was emotional too, just hearing the I guess the Eger family, if I remember the name right, but and two sons following in their dad's footsteps. It just
oh sure.
And it and his widow, she wears his pin, but it just I mean, great stories. I mean, sad, emotional, but just very well told. And I want to say God bless you to all the military people and who get paid the ultimate sacrifice and just have continue to serve and without any reservations. And they're very brave, and our military is the best the world over, and I'm proud of them.
Very good, well said.
And the call from Scott last night, I heard that call. That was sad, Ryan. I don't know. There's even people out there that I'm trying to make sense here of. It's hard to, but Holocaust deniers, but.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Scott's Jewish, and it you know, maybe his mom and dad passing away affected him, but it was a sad call, but you know, you let it air, and you know, it just at least I guess for the information aspect of it, but
yeah, and that was something last night, and if people are just tuning in now and they're curious what we're talking about, you can go into the podcast. It happened last night around midnight, or the radio.com app, I guess. But we had a caller from Florida that called in, and he gave it was interesting because he said he was calling in about funding for wars, is what he told the call screener. And when we got him on, he started to say a couple of interesting things that led me to believe that he might be anti-Semitic. So I asked him, do you have any hate towards Jewish people? I can't remember exactly how I phrased it. And he, you know, answered in the affirmative. And then I asked him, are you anti-Semitic? And he answered in the, yes, he was. But the interesting thing was he said he was a Jew himself that was anti-Semitic, which is a really fascinating combination. And then this is just catching up people from last night if they missed it. But part of it was trying to understand why he had this hatred. Where did this come from? Where do you come off, or where do you come to these understandings of all these different things you said? And he tried to justify it in a way that sounded educated and informed, and you can tell he certainly read up on a lot of different nasty books and, you know, Nazi propaganda and things like that. So I just heard him out, and I tried to just get into his brain to understand where he was coming from and why he had this hatred. And so that was just one of those interesting calls last night. So that's just catching everyone else up on it. And that's the thing. And I had to try to look at this and understand him as an individual of why he felt this way. I feel like he's not unredeemable. I could pray that he has a change of heart and he doesn't have this hatred in his heart anymore. And maybe one day that'll go away. And maybe one day he'll look at this and realize that flaw in the way of thinking. And, you know, maybe it just takes a conversation. And, you know, who knows? He might not be the only one out there that feels that way that could have heard a conversation like that. And maybe there's something that triggers inside of them to stop that way of thinking, or at least understand the flaw in it.
Well, it's quite at least a study, Ryan, of the human psyche and just how people feel the way they do. And I just, as a German Roman Catholic, self-served or just, you know, I have my flaws, but I have problems with people, some people through the years, but Jewish the Jewish people are people too. They're human beings, and we have our flaws and our conundrums about ourselves, but they're people too. And I guess there's just going to be differences until I guess the end of the world. And
ain't that the truth? And you know, that's the thing. So you know, and this could be an interesting thing, because there are some people that have this sort of hate built into them, but some people have it directed towards other groups of people. And I think it's, though, one person that calls in and has these anti-Semitic feelings, it could be universal based on some irrational hatred towards another person because of the color of their skin or their religious beliefs or whatever it may be. So it's an exercise for a lot of different people. I don't want to go out there and try to make Scott look like he called in, and what we're going to do is laugh and make fun of it. No. This is, you know, pretty serious stuff. And one other thing, Chris, you'll only find this on late night talk radio. I don't think there would be any other talk show or any other show in general that would have allowed for that to happen.
Well, just a couple others. I'll close out, Ryan. There's always going to be scapegoats in this world, people looking for scapegoats for their what's wrong, going wrong in their lives. So I hope maybe God can help him and his through his life, maybe some kind of help, you know, just reasoning of his mind.
Okay.
I want to say, Jerome, call in again. That was great when you called after me a couple weeks ago, and that was your. I heard that this morning on Mr. Hyland, and there's great reason for the KMOX beacon to keep shining in this world. And I think what you did, Ryan, you made a slam dunk and sending Mr. Hyland to the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to make it.
I hope he does. I really do. I am so looking forward to that moment when they post who gets into it, and I really hope his name's on it. So, all right, Chris, thank you for calling.
All right,
good
God bless you and your family, Ryan.
Okay. All right, good night. Yeah, so the Mr. Robert Hyland special that I produced that we debuted last week on this show was aired today in place of Charlie Brennan's show. So I think a whole new audience had a chance to hear the special, which means now I have pressure to make the second special. And based on the voting, I believe the second special will be Jim White, which I cannot wait to start producing. We'll take some more of your calls coming up. 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America. Thanks for spending time with us tonight. And if you'd like to join us, you can at 314-436-7900. And before we took Chris's call, there was that other question, and I'm trying to figure out in a year from now, what exactly are we going to remember about Memorial Day weekend? Are we going to remember that there were some 20-year-olds in a pool at the Lake of the Ozarks, or are we going to remember 19 were shot, including a 14-year-old girl? Four people were killed in St. Louis over that weekend. Is that what we're going to remember, or sadly, will that be forgotten? Is that just par for the course for St. Louis anymore? We seem to forget about all the crime that's going on because we've been in our own homes, but it's still happening. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Hey, thanks for taking my call this evening.
Well, it's almost morning, I guess.
Things are getting so mixed up these days. It's not, but anyway, I want to come up about the Lake of the Ozarks thing that went on down there.
Right.
Now, I remember something similar with the spring break stuff in Florida. There was a bunch of, they were worried because there were a bunch of kids down there doing the spring break stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about some sort of big outbreak or whatever.
Right.
Did that ever materialize like they thought it would? Because I don't
you
remember.
You know, I had a little grievance against that, and there's a reason for it. So let me back up, and I'm going to do this based off of memory, because as soon as that happened in Florida, what they immediately did in all the major news sites, I don't know if it was the New York Times or whatnot, but they said, "Ooh, we're going to track all the outgoing flights from Orlando, and we'll show where all the coronavirus hotspots are going to be because all these people are traveling from this one spring break area back into wherever they came from. And they did this, and they made it sound like this is why it's important to lock down the entire country, because people travel, you can't restrict it in that sense, and because
of
that,
you're going to see... And let me guess, it didn't materialize.
Well, definitely not in Florida. You notice Florida had a very low number of cases, but what that map didn't account for is you don't know if those people were testing positive or had any symptoms. You don't know if the ones who were traveling were those that were participating in spring break because you don't have the individual data. And without those two data points, it's a completely useless map if you're trying to overlap it with a coronavirus because they could be totally unrelated. But they used it as a way to try to scare people. It was irresponsible. So what do you see in Florida now? You have the governor of Florida coming out, and he is criticizing the media based on the way that they treated his state, and you look at other comparable states that have similar sizes that are in a much worse position than Florida, and we can go back and look at it, and they made the right moves.
And a couple of weeks went on, and we never heard anything about it again.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to see if I can find that real quick. DeSantis,
and
the governor.
Like I said, so I'm just wondering if, and that was back at the height of all this in March and April.
Oh, yeah, because there was a lot of unknowns and there's a lot of blame and finger pointing that was really not based on any evidence. They just didn't like the idea that there was a state out there that was handling it different than a full lockdown. And that's a little bit unfair.
And did you see my link this afternoon about the about some Singapore models saying when this might be over in the U.S.?
The Singapore model is interesting. Yes, I saw it, but I didn't get a chance to read it fully.
Yeah, I noticed they put it around mid-November when I don't know if it'll be over, but I'm going by safe.
Yeah,
They put it at mid-November just in time after the election.
Oh, see, I don't know how reliable that is. Models are so weird to begin with.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying these are the first ones I actually saw that give a prediction of when it could be over in the U.S.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll take a look at that. I did see the link, though. But thank you, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Good night.
Let me go back to last week. I found the audio where Governor Ron DeSantis went off on the media, and if I remember correctly, Vice President Pence was right behind him. And a lot of this has to do with the way that the depictions of Florida during all of this time and all of the predictions that never came true. And do you ever see the retractions of the stories? Never. Do they have a responsibility to treat this fair? That's a really important question in today's media. Is there a responsibility of fairness? Because if that's the case, how many of them are violating that on a regular basis? So let's listen to his rant that went viral. Oh, sorry, I got to plug this back in. All right, here is Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Well, good for him. Good for him. The phone number, 314-436-7900 on Overnight America KMOX. Here we are in Overnight America, together on a Memorial Day, spending it like we would normally, It's so strange, though, even though the restrictions have been loosened, it's still difficult to comprehend the day of the week or if there is some sort of holiday that's coming around. Because when you don't really have the ability to celebrate that you normally would, or maybe you don't have the ability to be with family or friends, or maybe some of them are being cautious as well, it just makes you wonder, what day is it? I can't be the only one that has to look at their phone because they don't know if it's a Monday or a Sunday or a Tuesday, because it almost all feels the same anymore. It is such a strange feeling. Just being honest. Let's go to Mike, who's holding on. Welcome to Overnight America. Hi, Mike. Are you there?
Brian, how you doing?
Oh, there we go. I can hear you now. What's going on?
Anyway, I've heard talk about Jerome and different things, Memorial Day, and you talk about the people of beach and stuff, and it brought good memories and everything, and like a buffet real short. Are you afraid of heights? Are you and your wife?
Oh, you know what? I kind of am. I don't like heights.
The reason I brought that up, I could say that it scared the daylights out of me. Me and my wife, when we was on our honeymoon, she got me on that helicopter down there by the arch, way up in the air, and I was scared to death. And I kept wearing it. Yes, I was, for real. And if it fell came loose, I thought I'd be a goner down to the Mississippi. And my wife loved the one to do it again, so no, that was it.
Never again. I don't like heights. Yeah. I can't even climb a ladder to my roof. It scares me too much.
Would you do that with your wife? It was scary. I did it for, you know, special, like her, you know, anniversary and honeymoon. It was scary. And yeah. And I'll talk about that water running to the beach and everything. And another guy, what he did to be smart, so to do what he decided, he built a big pool, like, right in where he lives at, where they can swim without affecting anybody. It cost him a lot of money, built his own. That was pretty neat. And another thing about getting a haircut that scares me, some hairstylist affected 91 people with the coronavirus 19 with a haircut, 91. Yeah. That's a lot of people, 91, and that's scary.
Yeah, well, I got to double check that number, because I think the number 91 meant how many, clients that the person had. So
yeah, that's it. They all got affected. 91, I seen it on my phone, and the producer
sure
talked about it too.
Yeah,
91.
All of them were infected. I got to double check that number real quick. But yeah,
okay.
That is kind of scary, because you're asymptomatic. You don't really know, and that could be a problem, sure. No, I get that.
Yeah, and you know, and you want to have fun, you know, and lighten up as a producer. I never heard this on KMOX, but this normal, not on this station. But you ever hear anybody play Kazoo? He used to play it on a radio station all the time. It was funny. And played harmonica, but never played a Kazoo. And I want to tell you this before I forget. You talk about that big, nice writings you did, you know, for Jim White or whatever you want to do, you know, whatever, you know, the stuff to appraise. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to make you feel good and get off here. This is true, because I'm a very honest person, forthright person. Mm-hmm. There's time when you first came there and said your best talk show host. There's time I got mad at you, didn't want to call all. But then I put on Facebook, and I was sincere about it, no flattery, and I meant this. I put down in there that you should be in the Hall of Fame, and I won't take it back. No flattery. I think you're one of the best talk show hosts on there. I meant every word of it, and you should be in the Hall of Fame, because you are very good, and you're very intelligent. It's no flattery. And I think you deserve that praise. I really do. And it'd be nice if somebody write an article about you. And I've heard a lot of talk show hosts who are good. But I really think you are one of the best talk show hosts we ever had. They came here brand new and do a great job. And I got mad at you. Now I love you, and I get cut off. But I think a lot. And I heard somebody talk about Bobo getting around. But that just a joke.
This is, what I need you to do is to get a really large bell. And I need you to go into public. I need you to ring that bell and yell that to every single person that passes by.
I can tell you something funny, since they were making fun. I wasn't going to say no bubble joke. I made a person laugh. I'll tell you something to make you laugh, but real quick, make you laugh. Now, Bobo got a question for you. When was Bobo born?
I don't know. When was Bobo born?
It was a birthday. When was he born?
No, I don't know. When?
He never was born. It's a figment of your imagination. Bobo, no. Yeah.
This is all just a giant, elaborate movie that you wake up and find out
born.
The person was a ghost
existed.
All along. All right, thank you, Mike. Yeah, good to hear from you. Have a good night. Okay, I want to read this real quick because I had to look this up real quick. So 144 clients at a hair salon in Missouri have been exposed to COVID-19 after a second hairstylist at the location tested positive. So the thing is, originally 91 people, 84 clients, and 7 employees have been exposed, which means that they were in close proximity to this person and that they could have been there long enough to pick up COVID-19. But it doesn't say that they all tested positive, right? So the exposure doesn't necessarily mean a positive contraction of the coronavirus. So I don't think they ever said, and mostly they don't say those things because it's, of course, people's own confidentiality, right? And it takes a little time to get this back, and some of them have their own other health things going on. But still, it's worth pointing that out. Let's go to Ken, who's calling in. Welcome to Overnight America.
Yeah, Ryan. Isn't it something else? Somebody reads something and it's 91 exposed, and all of a sudden it becomes 91 infected. And
that's
the
thing.
World
sometimes
we live in right now.
That's kind of it. You know, you read a headline and sometimes you can get the wrong impression, and then you have a totally different understanding of it because of that wrong impression.
And unfortunately, it's whether you lean left or right, and you know that enters into it. But anyway, that's not why I called. You ask a question, which would be remembered a year from now. Thing at Lake of the Ozarks or the killings, and a couple of comments on that. There was a party, kind of elite, that was held in Westport, Connecticut back in March, and it had 50 people there, and they didn't do the social distancing. Now, they were not in the water. This was just, well, I think you're protected a little more in the water. But it ended up 25 of them got infected, and this is people that came from all over the world to go to this party, and then they went, and you would assume 25 of them infected, and then they would do their thing. They went to other parts of the country. So, you know, in that respect, hopefully this thing at the Lake of the Ozarks, that it will not be remembered a year from now, and the murders will. One final thing, and I'll let you go. South Korea must really be something because their unemployment's at 3.5%, and they had 5 handgun murders all last. This was 2016. That's the most current year they had. And you look at what we're doing with the unemployment and all these murders, and I don't know. It's troubling. Very troubling.
It is troubling. Thank you for that, Ken. Good to hear from you tonight.
Thank you.
Good night. Well, part of it almost seems like that question, the question of what are we going to remember from a year now, it's almost a rhetorical in a way, because we're pacing exactly where we were last year in the city of St. Louis. And how many of you remember violent weekends in St. Louis a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 4 years ago? And it's the same story over and over again. We are distracted from a terrible, terrible issue in the city of St. Louis, one that I would argue is even worse right now than the coronavirus, which is this gun violence, gang violence, drug violence. You see it all across. And the reason why it's such a big issue is because it's ongoing. It never stops. There's nothing that's going to be able to separate the city from this violence. And it really does prevent the city from moving forward. So when we go back and we look at this and we say, oh, look at how terrible it was that there were some 20-year-olds and a bunch of them together close to each other in a pool in the Lake of the Ozarks. And then in the same breath, we completely ignore the ongoing issue that we have in St. Louis, the one that hasn't gone away and isn't going away because we haven't been able to do anything to solve it yet. We can't even acknowledge it as it happens because we get so wrapped up in some other things, including 20-year-olds in a pool that aren't even in this community. It's Lake of the Ozarks. Now, you heard the story at the top of the hour with Alex Degman, and he mentioned that in the county, Dr. Sam Page wants you to self-quarantine. There was a statement that came out not that long ago And let me pull it up real quick because it came out. The Camden County Sheriff's Office released it and mentioned social distancing is not a crime and therefore the Sheriff's Office has no authority to enforce actions in that regard. We expect residents and visitors alike to exhibit personal responsibility when at the lake. We also respect the right of citizens to move freely in the lake to take responsibility to protect themselves from any expected dangers related to COVID-19. That includes persons who are at risk. Their decision to stay out of the public and away from inherent dangers. We do trust, engage, and empower Missourians to continue health safety measures while adjustments to restrictions are considered and being implemented. So keep that in mind. And I think that's an interesting, not even interesting, I think that's a good way to approach it, that there is a thing that is personal responsibility, and then there's the accountability of your personal decisions that could come up from that. And if you're at a pool, there's also the question of what's the risk of being able to catch something. And by the way, NPR did a story that showed the likelihood, the risk. You can go from low, medium to high risk when it comes to contracting it. And going to get your hair cut, much higher risk than going into the pool, believe it or not. So if you want to talk about some of these other businesses, what are they doing to mitigate this? What are they doing to help ensure that the people that are coming in are safe? And then let alone, is the pool the actual thing that we should be paying attention to right now in the grand scheme of things? I don't think it is. But it's a good distraction for a while, huh? And the national media really enjoyed pointing fingers at us. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
In a story that ranked the different risks of summer activities, in case you're wondering, we'll just kind of look through this where they talk about each scenario, if it's a low risk, a medium risk, a high risk. And I know that you may have already engaged in some of these, which is fine. I think you know what your ability is to keep yourself safe in this matter. So let's go through a few. The BYOB backyard gathering with one other household. So maybe you and the neighbor get together, or maybe you and a friend get together. So you combine the households or whatever it is. What are the risks? They say, from the Oregon Health and Science University. Is that real thing? Oregon Health and Science University. Low to medium risk. So if you're just spending time with another family, low to medium risk. A lot of this has to do with just mitigating how many people you're coming in contact with and how much time you're spending with those people. So if you work at a location where there's a lot of people coming in and out, that puts you at a higher risk than if you're one of those people going in and out where you can stay away from other people. But if it's inevitable, if it's just a given that you're going to, by working there, come in contact, that you need to take special precautions, that's just the smart thing to do. Number two, eating indoors at a restaurant. They say medium to high risk. I think because you may be touching some things that are communal, soda fountains, buffet tables. You know, the buffets anymore in the future are going to be, they got to really check their business model because a lot of them, number one, it's going to be difficult for the public trust to want to go back to these and patronize them. But on the other hand, it's also the risk of, you know, what if there is someone going in and then you're using all the same utensils? That could be an issue. Number three, attending religious services, they say, is a high risk. Singing in the pews, you know, because you're using your vocal cords a lot, that could be something that alters the risk. Spending the day at a popular beach or pool. You ready for this? Low risk. Low risk. An outdoor celebration such as a wedding with more than 10 guests, they say, is a medium to high risk. Using a public restroom is low to medium risk. Letting a friend use your bathroom is a low risk. I don't know. It depends on your friends. Some people have some pretty nasty friends, right? They go in and you think, what just happened in here? Remind me to never let them into my house ever again. Here's going to a vacation house with another family. That's a low risk, and rightfully so. I think some of these, you just realize if you're not going to come into contact with a large group of people, and it's unlikely that the other family is contracted the coronavirus, or same thing, they're trusting you that it's unlikely that you contracted it. You're probably two safe families getting together. Staying at home, staying at a hotel, they say it's a low to medium risk. Getting a haircut is a medium to high risk. So if you're keeping score from NPR, getting a haircut's actually a higher risk than going to the beach. Going shopping at a mall, this says risk varies depending on if it's indoor or outdoor. Going to a nightclub is a high risk. Going camping is a low risk. Exercising outdoors, low risk. Those are the 14 different risks that they decided to put out there. And I kind of like the idea of handicapping these things and getting an idea of what's the big things to stay away from, what's not, what's the ones that are going to be more difficult to protect yourself. Coming up, we have one more hour of Overnight America. There was a Memorial Day message on PBS that really struck me the wrong way. I wanted to play that for you. And we've been doing this thing, and since it is Memorial Day, we'll do a patriotic song. This is the Fireside Singers, "Your Grand Old Flag." And the reason why it's important, it's just a reminder we're in this together. We're going to get through this together. There is light at the tunnel. We are Americans. We'll do this. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.